welcome to the Giving Voice to Depression podcast, produced in partnership with the A.B. Corcoran Foundation for Mental Health. I'm Terry, the creator and co-host of this podcast. I've lived with depression most of my life, and I know how easy it can be to feel all alone in the experience. I'm not alone, and you aren't either.
And I'm Dr. Anita Sands, a licensed clinical psychologist and life coach with a number of my own diagnoses, all of which bring a certain amount of anxiety and depression along with them. There is great power in shared experiences. We share our own as we engage in intimate and candid conversations with our weekly guests, exploring different perspectives on and experiences with depression.
We keep it real because depression is real. We keep it hopeful because there truly is hope in spite of what depression tells you. Hello, Anita.
Hi, Terry. A new study was released last month in the Psychology of Sport and Exercise that looks at why, when there are clear psychological benefits of physical activity, athletes often experience poor mental health. The findings reveal that athletes' belief systems, specifically irrational beliefs, are related to poorer self-confidence and, in turn, greater competitive anxiety and depressive symptoms. Phrases like, if I lose, I'm a failure, or if I face setbacks, it shows how stupid I am, were determined to be warning signs of poor mental health.
We will link to a summary of that study if you want to learn more, but it reminded us of an interview that we did a few years back with Brian Dawkins. He played in the NFL for 16 seasons, 13 with the Philadelphia Eagles and 3 with the Denver Broncos. Dawkins, nicknamed Weapon X, had the reputation as being one of the league's hardest hitters. Tough, fearless, strong, resilient.
Since leaving football, Dawkins has refined and redefined those words. He demonstrated a very different kind of fearless toughness when he used his Hall of Fame induction speech to disclose to the world that he battled depression and had nearly lost that fight on occasion. He preaches that it requires resilience to face our fears, to ask for help, and to see a therapist to share and process what's going on in our minds, and that it takes a team to help us keep faith when darkness threatens our very sense of self. Here's NFL Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins giving his voice to depression.
I want to start by thanking you because so many celebrities seem to use their powers to promote themselves. And the fact that you are choosing to draw attention to depression and suicidal thoughts and what you call cerebral wellness makes me deeply grateful. So I appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. This is one of my purposes here on this side of heaven.
I have the exact same belief. Let me ask you first, what did you think depression was before you experienced it yourself? Were you even really aware of it? Was it on your radar?
No. It was not on my radar, not even a little bit. Didn't even know the word exists, to be honest with you, about that back then. Wasn't really thinking about it. Didn't really hear a whole, especially back then, you didn't really hear a whole bunch about it. So, no, it was not on my radar at all.
So what did you think it was when you started experiencing it?
Just, you know, somebody who's sad and, you know, having a tough time, going through a tough situation, something like that. But obviously found out a whole lot more when I went through it myself and really began to look at some of the other things that were happening in your brain and the like.
Mm-hmm. And this really hit hard during your rookie year, I understand.
Yes, it really hit hard my rookie year. There were other things that were building up. Things that I was not doing. I was not talking about my feelings. I was not talking about my emotions. I had a lot of anger pent up, frustrations pent up for many, 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 many years. And really was not sharing any of that stuff. And so when all of that other pressure began to hit with, my family, new family, mm-hmm. new career, having money that I had never had before and then not being able to, knowing how to really budget that. But then again, and I was not talking. Mm-hmm. So it just all those things begin to take its toll.
I know that, I mean, you don't have to be a man to not talk about your feelings, but you guys have been almost programmed from birth to not share, to be tough, to be strong, all those things. Did that factor into your not talking?
Absolutely. Certain things you are to be tough about, but not everything. That is not what was taught to us. It was not taught a balance. Mm-hmm. It was just taught pain, that's weakness leaving the body. That's some of the, you know, someone will say. And it's not. Pain is pain. And, you know, when you are going through something, especially when you're younger, and someone is telling you basically to suppress it, you're getting taught to suppress pain, to try to hold in something that you're not supposed to. And then we don't talk about it. Nobody talks about anything. So now you go through your, you know, teenage years doing the same, similar thing, and then into adulthood, and you pretty much mastered something that should not be mastered.
Yeah.
Holding in something, holding it in. And so, you know, one of the things that I've come to understand is that, you know, pressure builds in silence when we allow it to.
Something Dawkins wishes he'd understood decades earlier is the importance of having what he calls a blessed pack. People who support and challenge you. People you stay in touch with regularly. People Brian calls cats you can be vulnerable with.
And I would tell my younger self to put people around you that can speak into you, that you can then talk to get some of that stuff off of you, that you can be real with them. You can be 100% honest with what your feelings are, what your emotions are, what your spiritual state is, what your mental state is. And then what I have in my life is I have people that when, as soon as we finish with those conversations, we're praying together so that we can now, both of us, get that stuff off of our hands and give it to the Lord. That's how I operate, and that's how I'm able to continuously stay victorious when it comes to those things that would try to pull me down, back down into that dark place.
So that's what you would say to your younger self?
Yes.
We are both parents, so I'm wondering what you think we need to be communicating to our children, and not just sons. What do we need to be communicating to our children so that they don't grow with the same, I think, very unhealthy messages we had? That, you know, nobody really wants to hear about it, or that everybody gets sad.
Yeah, so it's that balance I was talking about. There are things that you do need to suck up, like whining and complaining about some things. You need to be able to deal with those things and be able to take a mental mindset that I'm going to overcome my emotions with my mind by having positive things that I'm talking about to myself about belief in myself. You know, I'm not giving somebody else the right or the power over my thoughts about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I want my kids to know that, like, you can come talk to me, especially now, especially that I've come out and I've been extremely vocal about the things that I have gone through and continue to fight. You know, and just like I know, it is a continuous battle,
mm-hmm.
a continuous battle that we can win. And I am winning and I will continue to win. But when I ask them, is everything okay? And they say, yeah, I'm good. No, seriously, you good? Mm-hmm. You need to talk about something. And they know that I'm a place, my wife's a place that they can come. It's not about being, you know, being judged at that moment. It's about having an ear for them so that we can then, when we're done, go into prayer and pray about it so that I can empower them.
I'm going to ask you a question about faith, and if anything
yes.
in my wording is incorrect or offensive, please tell me so that I can correct it. But I've been to about three conferences. One was called Black Mental Health Matters, and another was a panel. And a number of people on them said that faith is kind of a double-edged sword, that a lot of people are raised with give it to God. And when the it is depression, faith can be a great source of comfort and strength, and it can also perhaps impede recovery if what you need, in addition to faith, is a doctor, a therapist, meds, something else. And that some people feel that they had been misserved by all the attention on faith when they needed something more than that.
Faith is a powerful thing for me. A powerful, powerful, powerful thing for me. But I will tell you this, I will tell you that when I went and talked to the doctor, the psychiatrist, when I finally, you know, when Connie, my beautiful wife, and Emmett who was my defensive back coach, when they finally told me I was going, like, they didn't ask me anymore. They said, you're going. Mm-hmm. When I finally agreed and went, what the medicine did for me is it brought me down off of my emotions. It allowed me to begin to meditate on things that I would not have been able to had I continued to go down the path that I was going. Mm-hmm. So what it did, once again, it took me down off of the flight of flight, if you will, so that I can begin to think about things and meditate on things and read my word and read my Bible and begin to pray. And I began to receive more things, answers that I would not probably have had I continued to fight it with my own, with my two fists balled up, saying, you can't win depression, you can't win.
Are you willing to talk about how far down depression brought you?
The depression got me to the point where I was not just contemplating suicide. And, you know, you guys probably heard it for the first time at my Hall of Fame induction speech. Mm-hmm. But I was literally and actually looking up ways, researching ways for me to end my life, that my kids and my wife would get the insurance money. So that's how deep that I had gotten. It was at the point that I felt like I just couldn't take it anymore, doing it the way that I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Doing it the way that I was doing it, I couldn't take it anymore. So I had to do something different, drastically different, to get what you've never gotten. Well, most times you're going to do what you've never done.
Right.
And that's what I did. Something that I never would have thought I would have done, talking to somebody about my problems, taking medication because of it. There's no way you'd have told me that I would have done that for a period in my life.
So while some of us, you know, are able to sometimes it's the only thing we can do, but curl up in bed and deal with when it gets really, really heavy and dark. Mm-hmm. You were being evaluated. You had coaches watching you, your daily performance, and you were going through the worst of the worst of depression. I can't even imagine that. It's such a different experience than I had living alone while I had mine.
I was putting on a mask. I was doing everything that I could to hide what I was going through. And I got good at it. I got very, very good at it. But the whole time, I wasn't free to be me. Mm-hmm. So I was dying inside because I had all of these things. I could get out, but I was choosing not to get out. So I was dying inside. But I was smiling, joking, you know, doing all the things, fitting in. But when I got in that car, ride home, in that darkness, in that silence, it was brutal. The voices in my head were so loud. When I would get home, I would sometimes just want to be in a dark room, but I couldn't. When I went home, I then had to perform. I had to put on a good face as best as I could for my family, because I wasn't talking to my wife about what I was going through. So that's what began to build and build and build and build, because I'm not free to be me.
As reluctant as Dawkins was to unmask, he says the results have been liberating.
Like one of the greatest things, like I'm not pretending about nothing. So that frees me up. Hmm. I'm not under the illusion that I have to be something to somebody or for somebody that's not me. I don't have to act a certain way anymore. I don't have to behave in a certain way anymore, unless it's something I want to do. That's freedom. That's freedom.
So that's fascinating. I have probably interviewed 200 people in the past 2 years about their depression. And while some people have said that taking the mask off has allowed them to be more authentic or to get help, nobody's really put it that way. It sounds like you're saying that you have been improved in ways by having experienced this darkness and coming clean about it.
That the darkness that you speak of is in the same line, I would say, as other traumatic things that we go through in our lives, mm-hmm. pressures that we go through in our lives. I believe those things are allowed to come upon us for us to learn things about ourselves. So you look deeper into what you need to look into to find things deeper inside of you when you go through tough, traumatic situations. Now, I don't wish them on anybody. I don't. But when we go through them, I have developed the mindset to not ask why, to ask what. Like, what is this teaching me? What am I learning from this? What is this showing me? Being aware of the things that you're thinking and why you're thinking about them. Mm-hmm. I've developed disciplines in my life of what I do every day. Two of the most important times, moments during our day is immediately when we wake up and right before we go to bed. What are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? What are you reading? What are you putting into your subconscious? What are you consciously aware of? These are the things that we don't think about. And all of these things matter when it comes to having the mental makeup to do exactly what I just talked about, with those dark times, with those dark moments, with those failures in our lives.
And I think that's important for us to recognize, because I believe that there are parts of my depression that are whatever, whether that's, you know, biological, hereditary, chemical. But I also believe that there are things that we can control, and the things you pay attention to and the things you allow in maybe can counter the aspects of it that we don't have control over. And so I appreciate you reminding me to focus on the positive and to feed myself positive things, especially, as you say, those critical times, like when you start your day and end your day. Any final thoughts? When I know you have that your time is short and we're at the end here, maybe just something that you now know about depression that you want to communicate to others so that they don't spend as much time as we both did before we realized we needed to tell someone, talk to someone, maybe take something, whatever.
I would say that, first of all, you're worth the fight. You are worth the fight. Your family, they are worth the fight. And there's options out there for you. There's a lot of options out there for you. So being led to go down the path that's going to give you the opportunity for you to share what's going on with you, not feel judged, not feel embarrassed, but to find those individuals. Again, that's why I have my blessed pack. I have those individuals in my life that I can call, that I know that I can call. I can text them. You have 10 minutes. But when it's all said and done, when it comes to this life, as wonderful as this life can be, you are worth it. You are worth it.
Terry, I love that he ends with "you are worth it," because of course you are worth it. We are worth it. My takeaways from what he was talking about, and I hear this not just from men, a lot of times from men, but not just from men, is this idea that we're taught to suppress pain. Yeah. And he mentioned that he learned how to master something that should not be mastered, you know, holding in pain and really, really tough feelings that he needed to be able to talk about, that he needed to be able to feel. And I wish more people had that skill set. I wish more families were comfortable teaching their children, you know, both by example, as well as letting them know that this is how you deal with emotions. You don't stuff them down. You don't suppress them. Having a good cry is important, you know, and if you're anxious, you don't hold it in. If you're angry, you got to say, you know, I think we need more of that. And I appreciate so much that he also recommends that you find people you can be 100% authentic with, or 100% honest with, I think he said. So you can take off that mask. You can completely be yourself. All thoughts, all feelings, all experiences are safe to share. And I definitely think that's going to help, you know, help keep you more mentally healthy if you can get that in your life.
And so many people do not have a blessed pack. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend, you know, as a therapist, for the people who don't have friends, don't have family, don't have neighbors, don't have somebody they can just call and say, as Brian said, you know, do you have 10 minutes? I need to talk, and be that real. Mm-hmm. Is that looking for online communities? What do you do?
I actually think, yeah, we've got two things. Online communities, I think, have been absolutely amazing. Not in all cases. Of course, there's exceptions, but this has been one of the best things about the internet, is the ability to go online at any hour of the day or night and find people who are likely experiencing or have experienced what you have, and connect with them, or at least read their stories or hear their stories, you know, mm-hmm. listening to to podcasts, watching documentaries, YouTube videos, finding that online community and connecting is so important. The other thing, though, is to not discount the power of connecting with your feelings yourself. And there's so many ways to do that through different ways of journaling and coloring in a feelings wheel, just to identify what's going on with yourself and giving yourself the chance to actually kind of feel that stuff yourself. It doesn't always have to be in connection with someone else unless you really need that connection mm-hmm. and that support in the moment. But just get off of the treadmill, get out of the rat race, create quiet time, put on music, get out of feelings wheel, try to identify what you're feeling, go with it, move with it so that stuff doesn't stay buried and locked away. That's really, really important. That's an important skill set to master mm-hmm. if you want to be emotionally healthy, I think.
And we should also mention crisis and warm lines, and in yes. whatever area of the country and world you are. In the U.S., you can just dial 988 now, but mm-hmm. in other areas of the world, there are also crisis and warm lines. And sometimes talking to a stranger is actually easier because there mm-hmm. is no judgment. They don't even know who you are, and they hear it all the time. So nothing yes. you say is going to surprise them. So I used to work at one, and I have called them, and from both sides, I think there's great worth in that.
Yes, put it in your phone. Just put it in your contacts. Yep. And I wouldn't even put it in your contacts as crisis line. Mm-hmm. I would put it in your contacts as, I need help. I need someone to listen. Mm-hmm. So that when you pull it up, that's what grabs you.
We will link with this episode to Brian's website, which is Brian Dawkins, DAWKINS.com. He founded the Impact Foundation, whose mission is helping disadvantaged young people, families, and communities, while also promoting spiritual, cerebral, and physical wellness. So thank you again, Brian, for talking to us in years past. And thank you, Anita, for putting a new interpretation and spin on the lessons that Brian was teaching.
Thanks, Terry. We truly hope that our podcast brings a little more understanding, helps you better articulate and reflect on your own experience with depression, or better understand how to support someone else who is struggling.
If this episode has been of comfort or value to you, know that there are hundreds of others like it in our archive, which you can easily find at our website, givingvoicetodepression.com. And remember, if you're struggling, speak up, even if it's hard. If someone else is struggling, take the time to listen.